Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us, everybody. This is your host, Jim Masters. Always a pleasure to have you here on Close Up Radio, a broadcast series at the service of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television and Radio. We originate from the New York area in the United States, but our guests come from all around the globe. Very excited to welcome a brand new guest who is joining us here on the program, who is going to be doing a two-part series with us here, and I invite you to stick with us for the next 30 minutes for an extraordinary conversation as we welcome Leslie Rochelle to the show. She's an intuitive leadership accelerator, founder of the Leslie Rochelle Coaching and Consulting, and the Resourceful Leader, international best-selling author as well of Silent Grief Healing and Hope. Prior to becoming a coach and mentor, Leslie spent over a decade working in a multi-billion dollar company where she was promoted to a leadership position, becoming the first visible female leader at her site location. At first, working within the male-dominated organization, Leslie felt particularly awkward, full of self-doubt, and not quite up to par. But after much contemplating, she became profoundly self-aware that she was actually struggling internally. And once she recognized and resolved those inner demons, she began to thrive in all areas of her life. Today, she's working with individuals to help them find their authentic voice. As Leslie has discovered through her own experiences, leaders need to be better equipped with the right support to truly excel and thrive. Leslie carefully integrates executive coaching, consulting, and mentoring strategies through her practical solutions. Leslie says that leadership starts from the inside out by cultivating a good relationship with oneself. Knowing and understanding who we genuinely are, we can actually lead our lives in a way that brings out the best in ourselves and others. She also says, don't be afraid to delve deep and rediscover who you are. By learning new leadership strategies, you're taking new steps to enhance your communication skills as well as increase your emotional intelligence and find success in all areas of your life. It's my pleasure to welcome her live to Close Up Radio for the first time. And again, this is a two-parter, so she'll be back next week as well. Leslie, welcome to Close Up Radio. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. I'm really excited for the opportunity to have this conversation with you today.
You are very, very welcome, and it's a pleasure to have you here. And, you know, you're a mentor, you're a coach, you're an expert in this area. What inspired you to do this work? You know, when you take a look and you step back at your own life's journey, we all have decisions, we all have things that we experience in our lives, and sometimes there are those moments where we realize we were destined to and meant to do certain work, work that we love, the work that really expresses the essence of who we are. With you, what are some of the things that inspired you to do this work that you're doing today?
Really what has inspired me to do this work today is to help that earlier version of myself. I've always been in some sort of a leadership position, whether that be by influence or whether that be by leading teams themselves. And it really came to the point where I, you know, had my fall to my knees moment, right, where I knew that what I was doing was not working. And if I didn't change something, that, you know, it was either going to break me or my family. So what I decided to do is really look into that personal development and that leadership space and really try to find something that was going to help support me. So thankfully I understood that I was self-aware enough to know that what needed to happen really was that internal shift for myself. So this is really when I started digging into things, and I never really found what it is that I really, really wanted to have, that personal and the professional development kind of all married in one. So, you know, going through my process, I just decided, well, you could do that for other people, and to really help them to, you know, alleviate the pressures on themselves as they're coming up within their leadership roles, whether that be, you know, simply by leading themselves, whether it's leading their family, or whether it is leading their teams or their organization or their businesses. And, you know, when I look back at it, it's really, I have a heart for service, and it doesn't have to be as hard. So having somebody there to help guide you along the way has enormous benefit towards it.
That is fantastic. You are a coach. Let's talk about your role as a coach, and how do you define, you know, your style and the type of coaching that you do, Leslie?
My style of coaching is, I'm a very nurturing person, and I don't think you need the snow globe effect, which is really, there are coaches out there, it works, you know, for certain people where they just kind of shake things up and then see where things land. Whereas myself, I'm a very nurturing person. I'm a very conversational style. I get to understand the person on a deeper level, to really understand what it is that they would like to achieve, and help them to be able to come up with the answers for it. So really my job as a coach is really to guide them by asking those great insightful questions and having them come to the conclusions themselves. So really guiding them along the way, because it's really them. It's about them, and it's about them really understanding, you know, where is it that I would love to be, and then I get to help provide them with that map to fill the gap between where they are now to where they really want to be in the future.
It's all about the map gap. I love that.
It is.
It really, really is. Yeah. Write that down. You can use that in branding. You're also a mentor as well, and I think that's fantastic. Describe your work as a mentor.
From the mentoring perspective, it really started, you know, as I had mentioned, I feel like I've always been in some sort of a leadership role my whole entire life, and it really came to the forefront within the last organization that I was in. You know, coming up as that first visible female leader at our site location, I was often the only woman in the room besides the administrative staff that we had, and it was awkward, right? It was really awkward for me at first, not understanding that, you know, what I have to offer is what it is that they actually needed, bringing that different perspective. And once I kind of got over my the insecurities that I had done the work myself, then I was able to help support other people and really became that go-to. I had people tapping me on the shoulder saying, hey, can you work with this person? Can you work with this person? Outside of my normal role within the organization, of course, I said yes. And, you know, it really began to flourish from there. So I participated in formal and informal partnerships within that space, and really helping people to, again, help support them with, I'm challenged with this. How do I provide feedback, for instance? I'm struggling with this particular person within my team. How can I have a better conversation with them? So this is where I'll provide recommendations and suggestions that they can use along the way, versus having them just to try and figure it out for themselves. It's really about, here, try this. This is going to work for you when you frame it this way. And that's where that mentoring comes in, is really providing those recommendations and the suggestions based off of the experience and the education that I have had.
That's amazing. In your expert opinion, Leslie, what are some of the positive aspects of a hybrid workforce? And do you think it's sustainable? And even before that, maybe even describing for our audience what a hybrid workforce even is.
Really, that hybrid workforce is that combination of, are we in the office, are we in remote locations, are we working from home, and what is that beautiful balance to ensure that we are getting the most productivity from our teams, from our organizations, in order to be able to produce the best product, right, that we have. there really is some benefits to it. One, you get a wider range of, geographical area that you can look for that perfect match to the organization that you're looking for when you provide them with this. When we're looking at, you know, what had happened over the pandemic, everybody was forced to work at home. So we discovered there was a different way to work where we, I think that there were many organizations who couldn't understand or see that there was potential in that model, and it allows people to really have a better work-life blend. I don't believe in work-life balance because I don't think it can ever be balanced on one side or the other.
Yeah.
However, I do believe that there is really that blend of, you know, how can I support my organization from where I am at? And that really requires a lot of communication, understanding what the expectations are, as well as the trust from the leaders in your teammates that they are doing what they're supposed to be doing, right, during the hours that they're supposed to be doing it, and that we don't take advantage of the fact that they're at home and ask them to work more or through their lunches or anything like that. So it is, and I believe it's here to stay, and I think it needs to stay because people have discovered there is a new way to do things, and this works better for me. And so if the companies want to continue to, retain and attract top quality people coming into their business, then this is going to be something that they're going to have to try to incorporate as well. Because if the employee doesn't find it there, they will go somewhere else to find it. And things are available. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. And again, it's important to really understand that and appreciate that as well. You're talking about the work-life balance that people all achieve for or try to strive for, men and women. Do you believe in it yourself? Do you think it is something that is attainable, or do you think it's overreaching, unrealistic expectation, and does it put pressure on people to feel that they have to do that balancing?
I think it puts pressure, unnecessary pressure. Pressure is always perceived by the individual. However, I do think that it puts pressure on someone to try to attain this thing that is really unattainable. When you're looking at a balance and a scale, you have to have equal weights on either side in order for it to be balanced. However, we're human beings, and things happen in our lives. And when you look at that balancing act, you're going to always be lopsided one way or another, which is why I prefer a blend, a work-life blend versus that balance, is to really understand where do I need to spend the most of my time and most of my effort on at this very moment. Maybe it's at work and you're 80%, right? Your focus is 80% at work and it's 20% on the family. However, there's going to be times where you need to flip that over to the other side and understand right now where I need to be is with my family because of this thing, or it is my day off. We're off work, right? So I believe that there is a balancing act. It's the same thing in relationships. If one partner is struggling on one day and the other person, they're at 20% and the other person needs to jump in with the 80% of the energy and the effort, then that's just what we do. So I think balance is really hard to achieve, whereas blend is something that is definitely more doable.
Exactly. Yeah, the blending is what you should really, I think, like you're saying, strive for. Why can't leaders even themselves try to figure out, just for themselves, how to be good leaders? Some may assume, somebody has this potential to be a good leader. It must just be something they're born with. It's automatic. They may even feel, I don't need any help. I'm good to go. But that's not necessarily the case, right? They can't always figure out how to be a good and effective and even empathetic, compassionate leader.
That's right. Leaders or people in general can't see your own blind spots, right? So when you can have that other person come in to be able to, maybe shine some light on those places, it will help you to grow. It's the same sort of thing with feedback. Some people are really afraid of feedback, although feedback is also good, right? Feedback doesn't necessarily have to be the bad things that somebody's talking to you about. The feedback can definitely be that be that good side of things. So every great leader has a mentor. It doesn't matter who they are. You know, there's, you know, CEOs that are going to have mentors. There's so many leaders that do have mentors, and they realize that they don't know everything, right? So when you come into a situation, you figure, I have nothing to learn. This is the person that probably needs it the most, right? To be able to say, hey, if you think that you know everything, this is really not a good place to be in, because it doesn't leave you open to learning new ways of doing things. It leaves you closed to looking at new perspectives that you're actually being faced with as well. And sometimes that mentor there is to really as a sounding board for somebody else to say, hey, I'm struggling in this area. Can you help me with this particular thing? So I think that when we go in there and say, oh, I don't need any help, I'm a natural born leader, if that's great that, you know, they have those skill sets, but no, there is no such thing as perfection. Perfection is really an illusion. So having that other person that is really on your side is incredibly important, that you can bounce things off of and to be able to elevate you to the next level, because you don't know what that looks like yet, right? Until someone can show you the way of what that looks like.
Right, exactly. That's a good way to put it, and I like what you said, that you know, perfection is just an illusion. I tell people that are hung up on perfect, I tell them, lose perfect and swap out excellence, striving for excellence. And I think you can breathe a little bit more when you're striving for excellence than striving to somehow be perfect. And then people are like, oh, my God, I like that. I think that's what I'm going to do. And it's important to look at it that way, right?
Yes. Perfectionism is procrastination in disguise, right? We're too afraid to... Right? We're too afraid to actually take that step without thinking that it needs to be perfect. So we're actually really procrastinating from moving forward by using this thing as an excuse. Yeah.
Right. And then there could be fear involved and all of these other things that come into the play. You have something called the intuitive approach, which I think is quite fascinating, Leslie. Tell us about what is the intuitive approach?
The intuitive approach is really, it is a skill set. It's something that I was born with and that I get to, you know, definitely delve into and get better at it, right? We all have those skill sets that we like to enhance as well. And really that is I can be able to have a conversation and understand the potential of what somebody has available to them. It doesn't mean that they will live into that potential if they don't grab hold of it, right? But it's really kind of taking a look at the person themselves. And it is more in that spiritual aspect. It is a big part of what I do in my mentorship programs and working with energy and those spiritual aspects as well. So we are not just human beings, right? We're not just the physical, emotional, or mental. We are spiritual and energetic as well. So bringing all those aspects in helps me to help somebody else on a more holistic level of the human being, because this is really, we are our foundations. So if you want to be a better leader, you need to dig into your human to become a better human. And I have an ability to go in and to be able to help people really delve deep into what their potential is. And then they get to decide whether they want to go unlock that potential or not. I can't do it for them. I can guide them to it. However, I can't do it for them. So they have to be willing to go there and follow through with the steps in order to really unlock that potential that they have.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like the way you lay that out. The pandemic, too, has really thrown a curveball to all of us in all of our lives. From your perspective, how and why did the pandemic change the way we work? I know people are working from home a lot, and there's this whole dilemma of, do we go back to work? Do we not go back to work? And there's employers that are saying, well, you must come back to work. We want you back in the office. There's all this whole big question that really has opened up a can of worms on how we go forward, hasn't it?
It has. I think it put a pause, right? We had this beautiful blessing of a pause when it comes to the workforce. And people really got to understand, you know, what is it that I want? Because we had to go internal. We had to stay inside, right? So we did have to do a lot of that internal work. How can I continue to function during this time and still be productive, still be able to bring that best foot forward? And so the pandemic allowed us to put a pause on hustle and all of the expectations, and some of them unrealistic expectations. It's like, do we really need to work this way, right? And the answer is no, we don't. So the pause really allowed us to understand that there are different ways of doing things. We don't need to be together all the time. Community is important. Yes, it is. However, from that work perspective, I think people really found out where the good leaders are and where the bad leaders are. And there's a lot of people in authoritative positions that are not leaders at all. So I think this really shone a light on that. And this is where we saw with the Great Resignation, people have realized, I don't want to do this anymore for this company because they don't actually care about me, right? They don't have my best interests at heart here. So I'm going to go look for something else in a different culture, in a different work culture, and find that place where I feel like I belong. So there was a lot of places that, you know, people just didn't feel like they belonged anywhere. They weren't seen, they weren't heard, they weren't valued. So they just decided, you know, enough is here, and I'm going to actually go somewhere else. And so they've done that. So it allowed people to really understand not only what they don't want, but it helped them to understand what they do want and what they want for their lives in general, not just from the work perspective, but for their lives in general.
Yeah, which is very, very important to really understand mm-hmm. and appreciate. Why is good leadership critical for a good workplace to function effectively?
Leadership will make or break, right? Your organization.
Yeah.
And it really will, because there's a lot of, unfortunately, there's still lots of toxic leadership that is more managerial or supervisory type of roles, not leadership, because leadership really is in a class of its own. A good leader has the ability to employ empathy. They have the ability to inspire. They have the ability to utilize emotional intelligence, because you can say something doesn't mean you should say it. You know, good leadership is that person that can inspire those other people around them to be the best versions of themselves. When you have that skill set to be able to do that, your team will produce more by default, because they've bought in, because they know you actually care about them as the human being, not the employee that's working for that organization. So once the leaders can really delve in and understand that it's about the humanness, and it's bringing the humanness back to the workplace. It's not just about thou shalt do this job. It's more about let's care about the people that are within our charge. Because if we don't do it, they will go find it somewhere else. It's because other people have that skill set. People would rather go to a place that has a better culture than, you know, stay with the other one. So people will seek those things out, and then you'll be in the attrition stage, right? How do we attract? How do we actually retain the people that are within the organization? And your leaders will do that for you.
Exactly, right. Yeah. You know, you also have to sort of add to all of this, you have a book as well. Congratulations on that. I think that's fantastic, as you are not only, you know, a coach and consultant and mentor and resourceful leader, you are an international best-selling author of Silent Grief, Healing, and Hope. Tell us about what inspired you to write the book, and tell us a little about what people can take away from the book.
The book itself is one that I had no intention of doing in the first place. I had written in 2019, I had actually co-authored a book as well. And it was something that was, you know, on the bucket list. It was fun to do. And then one of my co-authors was compiling a book. And at first I said no. She asked me to be in it. I said, no, I don't really want to tell my story. And then I was inspired to tell my story. So silent grief healing and hope is a story of, you know, inspirational stories of infertility, miscarriage, and child loss. And up until that point with my, my first marriage, it was, we suffered with infertility, and then I suffered a miscarriage, you know, 2 years after my son was born. And it was a terrible, terrible experience without any of the support. So why we did this really is to allow people to know that they are not alone. And it ended up being such an amazing experience. You know, we got to be an international best-selling book, which is crazy because we didn't know it was being sold overseas and things like that either.
Yeah.
And really, yeah, and really that, you know, even though it's not, you know, the topic that I speak to on a normal basis, I do. You know, I get invited to speak about the book. And it really comes into that personal leadership. Everything that happens around us or is happening for us, even though it sounds super lousy at the time, you know, there's something beautiful that came out of this, and I made some incredible connections because of this, and we've been able to help people, you know, along the way as well. And, you know, from the sales that I do of the book on the digital version, you know, I give 25% of it away so that it actually helps organizations that help people that have suffered through that infertility, miscarriage, and child loss as well. It's an important topic that sometimes gets glossed over too often.
Right, exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's good to spend time on it and really deduce it. Congratulations again on it. I know writing a book, especially one that you didn't expect to, but obviously mm-hmm. I think it's better when you write one when you don't expect to, because it comes really, truly, authentically from your heart and soul, as opposed to always mm-hmm. feeling I have to write this book and having everybody tell you have to write this book. This just developed from your passion for what you do. What are some of the other things that we've got maybe about 2 minutes left, and again, mm-hmm. Leslie will be back with us next week for part two, but what distinguishes you from other coaches and consultants from your, you know, thought process?
I believe it is because I am looking at someone from a holistic perspective. I don't believe that all leaders need to do is learn strategic and tactical aspects of leadership, whereas how I can do this and the way that I do this, right, with that spiritual aspect that I do bring in there is really I'm working with the leader as the human being themselves, and we always start there. We always start there, and then we can progress to the other places, because when you can develop that, you know, your internal compass, you can, you know, get it set on the right course, everything else in your life benefits from it. Your leadership, and it has an exponential effect on it, because as you learn and grow, as we peel the layers off, and as you learn and grow, then it helps everyone else around you to be able to grow as well, because people can't approach you in a certain way, right? You put up your boundaries. You teach people how to speak to you and those types of things as well, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. So then that means that they need to change as well, their approach, and then they'll get to take that and to be able to help people within their own lives as well. So there's really an exponential growth to how I help people. And I believe it's really that, you know, the mission really that I have is to integrate those pieces so that people can really foster that deeper understanding of their self, their purpose, and the connection to that greater good.
Our very special guest, Leslie Rochelle, of Leslie Rochelle Coaching and Consulting. Here's her website. We'll spell it out for you. Leslie Rochelle.com, LeslieRochelle.com. Leslie, thanks for joining us. This was really a fascinating and insightful conversation. Thanks for stopping by the show today, and looking forward to part two next week, and hope you enjoy the time with me as much as I absolutely have with you, Leslie.
I have. Thank you very much. I've really enjoyed my time here today.
You are very, very welcome. Again, Leslie will be back next week. Her book is Silent Grief, Healing and Hope. This is Jim Masters, your host, thanking you for your time this time till next time. Thanks for being with us in this episode of Close Up Radio. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another celebrated guest right here on the program. Till then, for all of us, have a great day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.